Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Chipmunk. Shalom Israel. Brother V, he's with us in spirit. We're going to finish the series we had started for the last 2 days on our Father's Sabbath. We're going to finish up about the feast days, the appointed times, what we read out in Leviticus 23. We started from the beginning so we can get a clear picture of where our count starts and where we end up at. So here we're going to pick up at the book of Enoch. We're going to look at Enoch chapter 74, verse 12. And for a lot of people, it's usually when they get inside of Enoch, one reason is because it's all counting Roman numerals. So if you're counting by the Roman numerals, you're trying to follow along. 74 would go as LXXI5. And that would be 74. And we're going down to verse number 12. And it reads, "In the sun and the stars, bringing all the years exactly, so that they do not advance or delay its position by a single day unto eternity, but complete the years with perfect justice in 364 days. So when we were going through the book of Jubilees, we did the book of Jubilees chapter 4 as well as the book of Jubilees chapter 6. And what it told us there was that if we can keep the count exactly, it will stop us from making a holy day a corruptible day. It will stop us from making something that clean to be unclean. And it said it will also stop us from keeping the days the way the pagans want us to keep it. Or as we look at the wicked. So the calendar that most of us go off of was the Gregorian calendar. So quick history. So we changed from the Juliano calendar to the Gregorian calendar. That was around 1582. And the Gregorian calendar was also known as the Western or Christian calendar. It is the most widely used calendar in the world today. Its predecessor was the Julian calendar. Was replaced because it did not properly reflect the actual times it takes the earth to circle once around the sun, known as a tropical year. The Juliano calendar, for this reason, was replaced because the formula they used to calculate leap years, the Juliano formula produced a leap year every 4 years, which is too many. The Gregorian calendar uses a much more, as they say, accurate rule to calculate leap years. As we keep understanding what we're talking about, to get the calendar back in sync with astronomical events like the vernal equinox or the winter solstice, a number of days were dropped. The papal bull, which we call the Roman Catholic Church, issued by Pope Gregory XIII, in 1582, decreed that 10 days be dropped out of the known Gregorian calendar. Switching the Gregorian calendar, however, the later switch occurred, the more days had to be omitted. So not only he dropped 10 days 1 year, he dropped some more days, again trying to catch up to the vernal equinox. This created a short month with only 18 days and odd dates like February 30th during the years that they changed over. So, in North America, the month about 1752 was exactly short, skipping 11 days. So, in 1582, they skipped out 10 days. 1752, they stopped out 11 days. Some months, they had only 18 days in it. So, when we're going back to our father's time, there's no such thing as a leap year. There's no such thing as a shorter month. As we did, and we calculate a season. A season is exactly 30 days, 30 days, and then 31. So 91 days make up a season. So that would be your spring. Going to your summer, again, it's 30, 30, 31. As far as the fall and winter, it goes exactly that way. And that gives us a total for 364 days in a year. It also tells us there's 52 weeks in a year, and, of course, we got 7 days a week. And this is a formula, at least 7 days a week it is, that the whole planet used to calculate their time. Again, like I was saying earlier when we had started the lesson, we don't use no Timex, we don't need no Boulevard watch. We can look and face the east, and we can also, when the sun is going down, and that evening, that starts our day. So we know from evening to evening counts us a day. So with that being read, we're going to go to another part of the book of Enoch. And this part of Enoch we're going to read is chapter 72. We're going to start at verse 32. And while you're in the book of Enoch, again, since it's got Roman numerals, and you're trying to look at it, there'll be a L, two I's. In verse 32, it reads, on that day, the night decreases in amount to 29 parts. In that day, the 29 parts, and the night is equal to the day. And the year is exactly as it is day 364. And the length of the day and the night and the shortest of the day and of the night arises, though the course of the sun of these distinctions are made. So it comes up its course because daily longer and course nightly is shorter. So when we start talking about start our calendar, we go off of what we call the equinox. It's equal part day, equal part night. So in this part of Enoch, the whole chapter 72 is breaking down when you have what we will say 12 hours day, 12 hours night. And sometimes you'll have more night than you have day. That's when we see we're getting closer or further into the winter. In the summer, they'll tell us when we have more light than we have night. And again, this has been broken down where we use our times now to calculate when we fall back and spring forward. They already had this understanding when we're talking about this in the Babylonian times. They found this information in the Qumran cave. They found this information about the way the sun rotated and earth went around it all the way back then without what telescope, well, this other information that we would have that we call astronomy today. So as we read that, we go to Israel. And the reason why we go to Israel, that part of the earth, to get the what we would call the start of the vernal equinox, is because that's where we find the center of our known planet is. So we go for that part, and we'll read one part in the Bible to give us that understanding as well. We can go to the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah goes chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Down to verse number 3. And it reads, and many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountains of Yah, to the house of Elohim, of Jacob, and he will teach us his way, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of Yah from Jerusalem. So out of what we call our holy land goes forth all the law. But we're talking about what happened down in times during Adam and Eve, what we're talking about to the times from Noah's Ark, what we're talking about from the times that we live in today. And again, most people are so confused about what we say Israel is. It's not that little sliver of land that we have those fake Jews living into it today. It's actually encompassed from all the way back to parts of Egypt, Saudi, down to all four of the great rivers, the Ethiopia, the Euphrates River. So our land mass that the fathers gave us is huge in abundance. It's not a small sliver of land that they're fighting over, as we will say today. So out of that part goes forth all the law. And that's the reason why we start our counter count there. Again, in Genesis 1, chapter 14, it says that all time started counting on that Wednesday when he put the sun, the moon, and the stars up into the heavens for us to count our time. That's how we count days, that's how we count seasons, and that's how we count years. Going into our Father's feast days, we get to the vernal equinox to start our calendar every year. And when we got to the Passover, which would have been this year, we did that on March 30th. And again, we count 14 days from what would have been the start of our year. That's the same thing we see in the reading of Exodus chapter 12, when he says the month of Abib was the start of months for us, and then 14 days later is the Passover on the 15th day, days of unleavened bread. So there, on this year, March 31st was what days of unleavened bread. After we count 50 for Pentecost, that was May 22nd, 2016. Now, what we're coming up now is the Feast of Trumpets. All the fall feasts of what we're talking about are the feasts that have not happened yet. So again, we could go back to the Word when we look at Matthew chapter 5. And again, that's our Christ, our HaMashiach, when he was speaking. He tells us that until all the laws and the prophets be fulfilled, not one jot, not one tittle, that means the smallest stroke, the smallest letter will not pass away from nothing in the Bible. Heaven and earth will be destroyed first before anything get passed away until everything in the law and the prophets is fulfilled. So if you can still stand on earth, if you can have, if an animal can still kill a man, if a snake will still bite a child, we still have murdering going on, and we know for a fact that everything has not been fulfilled. If the Most High hasn't came back and everybody hasn't seen him in the clouds when he comes back, because every planet, person on earth will be in the glory and the witness of him coming back. It goes to the extreme. As we read the Bible, it says even the sun will become darkened and it won't give its light. Our Messiah will give us a new light. And these are what the prophets predicted for his return. So that gives us an emphasis of knowing that we should be keeping this law and keeping his commandments. Nothing has changed because these events have not happened yet. Again, as we were reading the book of Jubilees, and Enoch backs it up as well as we read in Genesis, Exodus, what we read in the Gospel of Luke, there is nothing in the Word that keeps us from keeping the appointed times. Chapter 22, when he says the Passover is the same day as days of unleavened bread, and then in Matthew 12:40, he tells us that he spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. We go to first fruits, and all those spring feasts have been fulfilled as him being the lamb. Now all the fall feasts are going to take place with our Christ becoming back as the lion. That's when we see the abundance of death on the planet, volcanoes, mass eruptions, and that's where we get all the trumpets going. We will blow the shofar on September the 15th for the Feast of Trumpets. The reason why we blow the shofar on September the 15th for the Feast of Trumpets, and that will be that Thursday, is because when Christ came down, and we look at Exodus 19 and Exodus 20, when we first got our law, what we would call the Ten Commandments, how he assembled all of Israel together was the sound of a shofar blast. And that sound is not going to be unique, because again, because this is what we say is an example, a small reflection of what the Most High is going to do. So when he sounds that shofar, the whole world again will hear that blast, the same way all the Israel heard it at Mount Sinai. And again, what will go forth is out the law. So next feast day that we have coming up will be the Day of Atonement. And that will be what we will have in our Word, a double Sabbath. Because it will fall on the Sabbath day. Now, the Day of Atonement, that's when we're breaking out our sackcloths, as well as you fasting, because you need to atone for all the sins that we have done, that our forefathers have done, our family members, as definitely yourself. So we're trying to get out of a mindset of the things that make us want to commit adultery. We want to get out the mindset of the things that want to make us commit murder, stealing, to sell drugs to our family, our friends, that make us pollute our body with unclean animals or unclean things that have been made up from the heathens. Again, some people argue so much about things in the law, about can I eat this or can I not eat that. The only thing you know for a fact that you can eat and have all certainty with it is what the Father has created for you to eat. And again, we'll see that in Leviticus chapter 11. He even goes down on Leviticus 11:44. He says, I am Yah, and this is what I ordained for you to eat. Paul writes that same thing to Timothy. He says, pray over your food what Yah has what? Sanctified for you to eat. So, Day of Atonement, which will be September 24th, it will be the next of our feast days. After that, we have the Feast of Tabernacles. And for us Hebrews, that's when the party will get started. That's when our Messiah, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15:52, the righteous will rise. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, on the sound of the shofar, again, the dead will rise and be with our HaMashiach, our Christ. So the faithful ones, that remnant of Israel, you will again be with your Creator. And this is the part of what he says when he comes back, when he finds faith in the earth. Because that is a part that most people have a hard time grappling with. People have a hard time believing that there's a heaven. They have a hard time believing that there's a hell. We all know there's a death. People stop having a hard time believing that there is what? Cloning going on in the earth. People now believe that animals could be cloned, humans could be cloned. But again, before there was a plane ever created, before we sailed the seven seas, before you had a Juliana calendar or a Gregorian calendar, before we even had different nations with names, before there was a Roman Empire or a Greek Empire, before there was an Egypt, we had a word that was written down that said that people could be cloned, that a man can fall into a deep sleep, a rib can be taken out of his body, and another person can be created out of that rib, which we call Eve. And everybody thought that was fantasy. But now that goes on a daily basis. Going to when our Christ was born, a virgin birth, where he took that seed from Israel, placed inside of Mary, and made sure that she was with a son that was inside of her womb that was in like manner of the Father, without blemish, without sin, without corruption. And again, we have no problem with seeing that now because they try to put the best woman and best man athlete together and keep trying to make more and more hybrid, as they call it, human beings. Trying to make greater and smaller individuals we see. But again, that language, that idea, that philosophy, that thing that we see as commonplace now was written before there was a light bulb, was written down before we had cars to drive, was written down before we had oil. So our Father is ahead of the curve in all things. Right now, man does his best from heart transplant, does his best from kidney transplants, even try to give you new brain parts if he could, in order to extend life to cheat death. The Most High says it doesn't matter if you are a bag of bones, that spirit that he gave you can always live again if you're faithful. So we keep these days because, again, only the remnant will be able to inherit the kingdom. Only the remnant will be at the Feast of Tabernacles. And we'll celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles September 29th. And again, that will be on a Thursday. For our brothers and sisters, and we hear a lot of different talking, a lot of people say, well, let's just celebrate feast days the weekend. You'll get that from, like, the GLCC camps. They'll make all the feast days on a certain day so people can have time off work. One of the things we do, because we know we're in the land of our captivity, in the land of our captivity, you must, as all things, as he says, study to show yourself approved, but you also have to be a workman. So you can take your time off, you can schedule vacation off, you can do all these things for your Father. Now, it's easy for you to schedule your time off for your birthday. So you can go to a club, drop it like it's hot, or they say pop bottles and all that good stuff. But for your Father, time off of work. Noah lived for 120 years building an ark. He missed the clubs. He missed the parties. He missed the orgies that were going on at that time in order for him to work for his Father. He lived as a living sacrifice, and we see that in Genesis chapter 6. So how much easier is it for you to take that time off to schedule your life to be, again, with your Father? So with Hebrews, we have this mandate to come together and keep these commandments. See, in Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves. I'm saying that off the top of my head. I might be wrong. It might be Romans. I think it's Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake the assemblings of ourselves. So we are commanded to come together, and we're commanded to come together on a Sabbath day. We're commanded to come together on the feast days, as Shaul put it, what we call Paul. He says in 1 Corinthians 5, Christ is our Passover, therefore keep the feast. In Leviticus 23, they tell you these are all the feast days of the Lord, which we will call Yah. Passover is included. Days of Unleavened Bread is included. Pentecost is included. First fruits. We keep all these feast days. And the day that we're going to be keeping next for our feast will be trumpets. One last scripture we want to go to. We're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 10. So you got your word, you got your sword. Going to Jeremiah chapter 10. We'll start at verse 1 and finish at verse 2. It reads, hear ye the word which Yah speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith Yah, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth out of the tree at the forest, and worketh the hands of a workman with an axe. So a lot of our Hebrews, I read down to verse 3, a lot of our Hebrews can look at this and see how the heathens got Christmas, Easter, and Jeremiah 10 points you directly to this pagan tradition of them cutting down a tree and decorating it with silver and gold. But what I want you to focus on, O house of Israel, is when Yah told you not to learn the way of the heathen, and don't be dismayed at the signs of heaven, because the heathens are dismayed. And just like when we read in the first part, and I told you about the change from the Juliano calendar to the Gregorian calendar. That is nothing but a heathen tradition. So if the Most High, anyone that's following the calendar of Jubilees and Enoch, and it tells you it's 364 days, and you can see clearly that our Messiah was separated, died for his died for our sins on that tree, that all of Israel can use that blood in order for our salvation now, that we can understand that that happened in the midst of the week. And the reason why the prophet Daniel was able to predict that was going to happen in the midst of the week in Daniel 9:27, because the law tells us that that month for the Passover was going to happen in the midst of the week, because that's when it started. Our month of Abib started then. The month of Abib, or Abib, people say it, it didn't start in Exodus chapter 12. It started at Genesis 1:14. And Christ kept that same calendar all the way until his resurrection. And as we read in Enoch just now, he said, we'll keep this until eternity. So to understand what we're doing, if a man or any teacher is following after the Book of Jubilees, following after the Enoch, and they follow after all the other scriptures I gave you, then how can they in turn give you Friday or Saturday as their day of keeping these holy days? How can they give you that day of keeping Passover as well? So, as we said when we first started in Lesson 1, Romans 14:5, every man, you need to be thoroughly convinced in your own spirit, in your own mind. That doesn't mean that you get to make it up on the fly. It doesn't mean that somebody gives you some teaching and you just run with it. That means you must study to show thyself approved. And you must be able to line up on your feast days. Line up the days that you're worshiping on. From what? Precept upon precept upon precept, line upon line upon line, and you'll find a little in Genesis, you'll find a little in Exodus, you'll find a little bit in Leviticus, you'll find a little bit in Luke, you'll find a little bit in Matthew, you'll find a little bit in Jubilees, you'll find a little bit in Jasher, you'll find a little bit in Revelations, and that's what's going to help give you a picture. So that way, you'll be thoroughly convinced in the knowledge that the Most High has given you has not been withheld from you. So I hope this is going to be helpful to our Hebrew brothers and sisters. Again, one of the most important things is when you come into fellowship with your Abba, when you come into fellowship as an example with the Ancient of Days, you must not have any malice in your heart. You must be removing all this sin that is infected this world away from your life. You're coming to this fellowship. You come into trumpets, which is coming up, and you should be coming there naked, clean. And I don't mean naked in the sense of you have no clothes on, but you should be cleaned out in your spirit. You should be cleaned out to the point that only thing that's going to be able to dwell in you that day is the Word, and you'll be filled with the Ruach, which is the Holy Spirit. See, if you got something else dwelling inside you, if you got some malice, you upset that you, first of all, maybe keeping the feast day alone, you upset that mama and daddy or wife and brother and sister them don't understand the Word, you got some malice that Christian church got 1,000 people showing up and you got just the 3. See, that's the stuff you have to get out your heart and your mind, because the Most High can't dwell with you in that state. Again, one last person we're going to look at is Elijah. He thought he was all alone. If you really can comprehend, when he talked to Yah and thought that he was the only one keeping those commandments, and Yah told him, I have 7,000, ain't never bowed the knee to Baal. That means he was keeping the Passovers by himself because he thought he was only one. He was keeping Days of Unleavened Bread by himself because he thought he was only one. He was keeping Feast of Weeks by himself because he thought he was the only one. He was blowing that shofar and the trumpet by himself because he thought he was the only one. You understand? The Day of Atonement, he was doing that by himself because he thought he was the only one. And he was tabernacle, setting up that booth by himself because he thought he was the only one. So when we hear that the Most High give us a time to fellowship with other Hebrews, other brothers and sisters, we say Toda Rabbah, which is thank you very much to our Abba. We celebrate joy. We give all praises to the Most High. But if you're the only one in your area, you keep doing that work. You keep being faithful. You keep doing it in private. And what you're doing in private will be rewarded to you in the light. So with that, I'm going to let this go. With the feast days coming up, the fall feast, remember these are things. They're a shadow of good things to come. Let's read something out the book quick before I hang up. Go to Colossians. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 2. I think I want verse 14, but I want to read it so it can be crystal clear. All right. Let's start at verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of Yah, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a set apart day or in a new moon or in a Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, and truly in those things which ye have not seen, vainly puffed up by a fleshly mind. So what we're doing, the trumpet that's coming up, is a shadow of things to come. But we're doing these things through the body of these things are the Messiah. The fullness of his glory is getting magnified, because the law is perfect at converting our soul, perfect at turning you from that unclean person you are to the person you need to be. In verse 15, it's in having been spoiled of principalities of powers. As you're walking this walk, we're not fighting over fleshly things, but we're fighting against the principalities, these unseen powers. The images and the spirits are given off from your TV. So these feast days, the Sabbath day, is what cleans you out, keeps you in a spirit of humility, but also lets the Most High dwell in you. Because if you're searching with all due diligence, find his feast days and his appointed times, that means you're not chasing after sin. So with that, Shalom Israel. And to the Most High be all the glory. Until we talk again.